Hello everyone, my name is Habib Hajarian and I'm Program Manager on .NET. Today I'm going to share with you what's new in .NET 4.5.1.
Before I start talking about what's new in .NET 4.5.1 and in .NET development in general, I'd like to show you a very, very simple view of how I think about .NET. At its simplest level, .NET is essentially a combination of a runtime, a set of libraries, a number of languages, examples being C#, VB.NET, F#, and so on, and a number of tools that are available in Visual Studio. So when people ask me what is new in .NET, I really think about it as a combination of tools, languages, and runtimes that come together that create this unified and integrated experience. In the past, we've invested at different levels in the graphic that you're seeing in front of you, meaning at various times during the .NET development cycle in the past, we've invested at various levels across the runtime, libraries, languages, and tools. And in today's session, what you'll see is a combination of our efforts for .NET 4.5.1. We just released .NET 4.5.1 about 12 months ago or so, and that was a very significant release for us. In fact, if you look at the table that is on this slide, you'll see that we invested across the client and the device, the web, the fundamentals, libraries, and so forth. And a few examples of that include the async work that we did, as well as the work that we did across the support for Windows Store development, as well as Windows Azure and the garbage collector, as well as the various libraries, including the immutable collections and async. Based on the latest statistics, .NET 4.5 is now installed on 100 plus million computers. So it's a very, very significant release, granted that we have not even released .NET 4.5 on Windows Update yet. If you look at what's new in .NET development, it essentially breaks down into three core areas: developer productivity, application performance, and continuous improvement. But the one of the most important things to keep in mind is that despite these new innovations, we've worked really, really hard to make sure that .NET 4.5.1 delivers a very high compatibility bar. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to spend a few minutes just covering each one of these themes and discussing what those experiences are. And in future demos, you'll actually see exactly how these features work and what the experience looks like. So let's start off with developer productivity. If you remember, in Visual Studio 2005, we introduced a new feature called Edit and Continue. And Edit and Continue has been supported for 32-bit processes since then. However, we've received a ton of feedback across the various social channels, including both Channel 9, Visual Studio, User Voice, Connect, as well as Stack Overflow, that people really want to have Edit and Continue for 64-bit processes. So in the new version of .NET, we now have 64-bit Edit and Continue, which has been number 9 on all-time requested feature on User Voice. As far as the experience is concerned, it works exactly the same for 32-bit applications. And it works for both client applications as well as ASP.NET web applications. And the main thing to remember when it comes to web applications is that you need to enable Edit and Continue for web applications in the project properties. And so what that will do is make sure that it's enabled for both 32-bit as well as 64-bit processes. Another very common requested feature in Visual Studio and .NET in general has been the ability to inspect the return value of a method. And in fact, very similar to 64-bit Edit and Continue, We have various requests across Stack Overflow, User Voice, as well as Microsoft Connect that has that where users have asked for this feature many, many times. And so in Visual Studio 2013, this feature, which has been available for C++, and in fact, I believe VB6 as well, is now available for .NET applications. You can access this feature via the autos window and also in the immediate window by typing in $return value. You can now inspect the return value of a method. So you no longer have to introduce temporary variables or have to step all the way out of the method to see exactly what the return value was. You can simply use the return value in the autos window or the $return value in the mid window to see what the actual return value of a method looks like. Another oft-requested feature, and this goes back to a theme that you're seeing as I'm presenting these features, is that in my humble opinion, .NET 4.5.1 is one of the most customer-focused releases of .NET so far. And the reason I say that is if you look at every one of these features where we're going through the user experience, there is a clear request from yourselves and other users that we've now essentially implemented in the new version of .NET. And async debugging is a great example where after introducing it in .NET 4.5, we've received a ton of requests around better debugging support. And more specifically, the question is, how did I get here? The really powerful thing about async is the fact that as far as users are concerned, it makes it look like any other serial programming paradigm, even though it's all essentially non-serial and it's parallel. So one of the questions that often comes up is when I look at the call stack window, for example, there isn't a clear view on why the application ended up where it is currently. And similarly, when it comes to the tasks window, in Visual Studio 2012, it's hard to see exactly what tasks were created and what the state of those tasks are. So in Visual Studio 2013, we now have much better async debugging support in both the call stack window as well as the task window. Another major feature that we've added in .NET 4.5.1, which I think will have a big impact and really benefit developers going forward, is the ability to essentially retry connections to a database hosted in Azure when they fail because of connectivity issues or other failures. So as developers now start to move the backend of their applications to the cloud, making sure that end users have a great experience despite what the status of connectivity is very, very important. And that typically entails putting lots of tries and retries to your application to make sure that the connectivity is maintained. With .NET 4.5.1, we've now added the ability to essentially retry automatically if the connection goes down. So the really nice benefit here is that it just works. By simply upgrading your application from, let's say, .NET 4.0 or .NET 4.5 to .NET 4.5.1, the .NET, the ADO.NET connection resiliency that's also available for Entity Framework will simply work so that you don't have to do any additional work. And one of the other things that I want to mention with this feature is that you can control various properties such as the timeout and so forth, so that you can control exactly how long it will take for the timeout to occur and how many times the retries will happen as well. So far, we just spent a few minutes talking about one of the core pillars of .NET 4.5.1, which is developer productivity. Now I'd like to shift focus to application performance, where we've added a number of features to make applications that run on .NET that much faster and more performant. One of my favorite features is this new ASP.NET app suspension that is available with Windows Server 2012 R2, and also which is part of IIS 8.5. And this is the ability where if you are, for example, hosting multiple websites on a server, when any of those websites aren't being used for a certain period of time, and you can certainly configure what that period of time is, then with the ASP.NET app suspension feature, the application will essentially get saved out to the disk in a ready-to-go state. And then whenever the next request comes in, the application gets rehydrated in a much, much faster way than simply having to re-spin up the ASP.NET worker process and essentially service the request. So in our initial lab performance numbers, we've seen some incredible gains based on the ASP.NET app suspension feature. And again, one of the really nice properties is the fact that by simply upgrading your application and hosting it on Windows Server 2012 R2, you get this feature for free as well. Another oft-requested feature for .NET has been the on-demand large object heap compaction, which is the ability to essentially control the large object heap. The one thing I want to start off by saying here is the fact that the garbage collector in .NET is a very well-tuned machine. So we hope that typically users don't have to actually configure the GC itself. And therefore, the warning that I have here is with great power comes great responsibility. And the reason here is whenever you essentially collect a large object heap, there is a good amount of performance overhead that comes with it. So you have to be very, very careful of how you use this feature. But for those developers, and we have a number of requests that customers really want this feature, they now have the ability to collect the objects that are in the large object heap. Last but not least, one of the other features that developers will get with the new version of .NET is multi-core JIT improvement. And this is where by essentially running your application on .NET 4.5.1, .NET can now take advantage of the multiple cores on the machine and will be able to essentially JIT compile the application much, much faster. And in some instances, we've seen up to a 15% improvement in cold startup by simply, again, upgrading your application into .NET 4.5.1. And this is enabled automatically for ASP.NET apps. Whenever you now create a brand new application in Visual Studio 2013, you get this feature for free as well. So one of the common themes that you're seeing through this session is the fact that we've worked really, really hard to make sure that your apps just get better by upgrading to .NET 4.5.1 without you having to do any work. The last theme that I'd like to cover is this continuous innovation. And let me get into some more details of exactly what that is. So one of our goals with .NET has always been that developers can go to one place to essentially get all the bits, so we have great discoverability. There's a well-known quality and compatibility level with .NET as well. A single license and support policy makes it extremely easy to understand and be able to figure out what the support lifecycle looks like. And also, we have a centralized patching for security issues. So you never have to worry about, you know, where do I get my latest patches if there are any security issues. At the same time, we are working on making sure that whenever we add new value to .NET, customers can get those values much, much faster than the current cadence. So we are trying to figure out how can we release .NET on a much faster cadence with much tighter customer feedback loop, and also how do we make it much easier with less friction to adopt .NET going forward. For those who have used NuGet or who know what NuGet is, essentially the package mechanism in Visual Studio, and now more and more in .NET, we are going to leverage NuGet to release .NET libraries on a much more frequent basis. So with .NET 4.5.1, we released a couple of new packages, including the Microsoft Composition, as well as the TPL Dataflow libraries. And the one thing to keep in mind is that we treat these packages just like any other .NET libraries, or in the diagram there, what we call .NET in the box. So the thing that we're doing right now is we're continuously adding value as far as new libraries are concerned. So quite recently, we released HTTP client, async immutable collections, and what you'll see is we're going to release more and more libraries out of band so that developers can get the value on a much, much faster cadence. The question comes then, how do I actually go and discover these libraries and the packages? So I'm excited to announce the fact that in Visual Studio 2013, we now have a dedicated and curated channel on the NuGet package dialog, so that you can go there and discover all the new libraries that are available for .NET Framework. And it's available on in Visual Studio 2010, Visual Studio 2012, and Visual Studio 2013 as well. And for both discovering new packages as well as updating existing packages, you now go to this central curated location where you can discover everything that we're releasing out of band. And also, as I mentioned, it's already available in Visual Studio 2013 RC, but if you are using Visual Studio 2010 or Visual Studio 2012, you can simply go ahead and add a URL to the package sources pane and now be able to discover and get access to the same libraries from Visual Studio 2010 and Visual Studio 2012 as well. So when I think about continuous innovation in .NET going forward, it means that we'll be able to release .NET libraries and packages on a much faster cadence. And also what it allows us to do is it allows us to incorporate your feedback on a much more frequent basis, so we no longer have to wait 3 years to release a new version of .NET and be able to get your feedback on that as well. With that, we would love to hear from you. As I said, today we have a very vibrant community via our blog, as well as our Twitter and our MSDN forums. And as we embark on this continuous innovation journey, we really would like to have you on board to give us feedback as we release new versions of .NET and new versions of libraries as well.
Thanks for your time today. If you have any questions about the topics today, please feel free to visit our blog on MSDN. Thank you.